This is WCOMLP, Chapel Hill and Carrboro. This is the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom Wednesday afternoon show. I'm going to start you out with a little music just to remind you who it is that the wars are for.
Kim and John Army, cause he had no place to go. There ain't nobody higher out here since all the jobs down in Mexico. I reckon that learning self-trade made me see the world. Moved to the city someday, married a black-haired girl. Somebody somewhere had another plan. Now he's got a rifle in his hand, rolling in a bag and wondering how he got this far. Just another poor boy off to fight a rich man's war. Bobby had an eagle and a flag tattooed on. Red, white, and blue to the moon when landing Kandahar. I left behind a pretty young wife and a baby girl. A stack of overdue bills and went off to save the world. It's been a year now, he's still there. Chasing ghosts in thin dry air. We went back at home. The fine has come and took his car. He's just another poor boy off to fight a rich man's war.
Good afternoon. This is Tana Hartman, and welcome to the Wilf Wake Up Call. I'm here with our engineer and co-host, Dick Paddock, and we're happy to see
Good
you
evening.
Back. We're going to talk about hydraulic fracturing, fracking, today. Dick and I both have been reading a bit on it, and it's kind of concerning. It may be spawning a few millionaires, but like the previous gold rushes and other resource runs, it spawns a few millionaires and leaves a lot of other people in much worse shape. So we need to be careful about it. What is hydraulic fracturing? Fracking, as it's called, is a way of extracting natural gas from within rock. And this is, we're talking deep rock, the deep shale deposits, and it involves blasting underground thousands of feet deep and using a mixture, a cocktail of sand, water, and chemicals, toxic chemicals, many of them. It uses 3 to 5 million gallons of water per frack, and each well may be fracked over 20 times. In North Carolina, there are the shale basins, the underground reserves for natural gas, and once it was considered impractical to retrieve, horizontal drilling and fracking now allow them to get access to the natural gas. But the drilling procedures could only occur if current regulations are changed. And there are some reasons. The current regulations on fracking, actually, they don't allow horizontal drilling, nor do they allow injection of high pressure or toxic waste fluids. But the energy industries are seeking to buy up leases and move forward with fracking. And the General Assembly has been passing bills to study the economic effects of fracking. But basically, I think they're less concerned about the real effects of fracking than they are about whether they can quickly move to give these energy companies the rights to, you know, drill for natural gas.
I wonder. It's interesting for those of you who follow science fiction and are interested in Battlestar Galactica. They have a particular use for the term fracking. It means exactly what you think it does. And they use it in place of the normal word as part of their regular discourse.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay, fracking. Yeah, it sounds nasty.
Yes.
Right. There are a number of companies that are buying up oil and gas leases around the state. There's one called Whitmar Exploration Company that's filed 59 oil and gas leases. Well, actually, this is from last year. I don't know how many have been filed since then, covering nearly 6,000 acres in Lee County. And the company, which is based in Denver, Colorado, has, I don't know what they've had to say about it, but they're also trying to buy leases in Chatham and Durham counties. The shales in North Carolina, these shale basins affect 14 North Carolina counties: Stokes, Rockingham, Granville, Orange, Durham, Chatham, Wake, Lee, Moore, Richmond, Montgomery, Anson, Yadkin, and Davie. So if you live in one of those counties, one of these days you could wake up to the sound of explosions and drilling nearby, because they're trying to buy property from farmers that are situated on the shales, over the shales. If you go to southernenvironment.org, that's the website, just southernenvironment, all is one word, .org, you can find some maps, a lot of information, and you can also find maps that show where these shale basins are, and it's eye-opening to look at their placement. I mean, this is something, you know, ancient geologic deposits. But if you're a farmer or you own land in Lee, Chatham, Moore, or any of these counties, you could be approached by a company that wants to lease your mineral rights and tap the potential natural gas deposits beneath your land. They could promise you the moon, say you will be, you know, handsomely reimbursed, and you could get rich. But you could get rich and also witness your family getting very, very ill. And then you'll be spending all your money on doctor bills and lawsuits against these companies. So if you are approached, or you know anyone who's approached about signing over the lease to their land or just granting these leases to companies to drill, get legal advice first before you sign any contract. Because mineral rights leases are binding legal contracts, and they can have unexpected impacts on you and your family. The Rural Advancement Foundation International, which is based down in Pittsburgh, has been working with NC State University and other legal experts to analyze the contracts that are being offered around the state. And they have some very serious concerns about potential liability and other impacts on farmers and landowners. So get information. Also, for more information about it, go to RAFIUSA. That's RAFIUSA.org. And you can find, just search for gas lease, and you can find it. Dick, you've been reading up on this, too, and you have some things that you pulled up recently, a study being done by Duke.
Yes, there are two articles that I picked up from the Christian Science Monitor, written by Mark Clayton, who's a staff writer, one was from September of last year, and the other one is from May of this year. And the one that is more current is about a Duke University study that finds high methane levels in groundwater near where fracking or hydraulic fracturing has occurred. Methane levels were 17 times higher in groundwater near areas where shale gas fracking wells had been drilled in Pennsylvania, compared with areas where no gas drilling had occurred. The overall view, they measured 68 private groundwater wells across five counties in Pennsylvania and New York, And it's a peer-reviewed study which is published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, which is a pretty high-level academic science magazine. The fact that it's peer-reviewed means that it's probably a pretty reliable study. There are some complaints from industry, of course, saying that there were no controls, at least some of the homeowners who claim that their wells are contaminated appear to be right, but not others. Environmentalists hailed the study, but the big problem, according to the industrial folks, the people who want to take advantage of the fracking, was the lack of baseline data to corroborate that the higher methane levels were caused by drilling and were not naturally occurring. To me, it seems like if the preponderance of occurrences are that the methane is higher where there's drilling and in comparison with where there's not been drilling, then that pretty much establishes a baseline. It's not a pre-existing zero in the sense that one would do for a chemical analysis, but it does, it seems to me like it's a fairly solid study.
Thanks. Yeah, I think you're right. You certainly know more about that from your background than I do, but I would think so. I would also think, I often have to ask, in cases like this, would you rather take the risk of something that it might be maybe safe, or would you rather that they prove first that it is safe before they, poison your well?
Or your family.
There are potential gas formations in the Triassic basins. I understand the problems now. We need energy and we need alternative, fuel sources. But the potential gas formations in the Triassic basins in North Carolina are underneath or upstream from public drinking water supplies for 2.4 million people in this state. And that includes densely populated areas in the triangle through the Sandhills to the South Carolina state line. Other communities downstream withdraw their drinking water from the Lumber, Cape Fear, Neuse, and Tar Rivers. A smaller area of shale occurs along the Dan River in Stokes, Rockingham, Yadkin, and Davie counties. And in other states where fracking has occurred, residents have reported spills and fumes, serious health problems, contaminated tap water. I've even seen videos of someone setting their tap water on fire. Imagine turning on your tap, striking a match or a lighter near it, and it goes up in flames. That's actually very serious, and it has happened a number of times. Contaminated tap water, sick and dying animals, earthquakes. There was just an article recently, and I wish I had printed it out or gotten noted it more carefully, where small earthquakes are occurring in, dozens and dozens and dozens of earthquakes are occurring where they're fracking.
That was the one you got from Beth Cricker.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Yeah, it was
all right.
That
yeah.
Email.
Maybe it's in here somewhere. But in any case, that would concern me. The chemicals that they inject into the ground, and by the way, as much as 80% of these chemicals can be left behind when they're done, and they don't dissipate quickly. But it can include very dangerous and toxic chemicals. And a recent report listed 750 chemicals and compounds that are used in fracking by 14 different oil and gas service companies. Now, that was from 2005 to 2009. Out of those chemicals, 29 of them, including benzene and lead. I don't know about you, but I don't want those anywhere near my drinking water.
Exactly.
Are either known or potentially cancer-causing or pose other serious risks to health. Unfortunately, Congress has exempted fracking from federal regulations under the Safe Drinking Water Act after heavy lobbying by, guess who, oil and gas companies. This means that companies are not required to disclose their chemical mixtures under federal law. Now, there is an eminent researcher, Dr. Theo, what's her name? Theo Coldblum? Oh, shoot. I can't remember her name offhand, and I was just listening to her recently. But she tried to get the particular cocktail mix that various companies are using, and some claim that these are proprietary mixtures and they won't reveal them, and they're not being forced to reveal them. But these things, these chemicals, are serious. You don't want them near your drinking water. They can stray from the target drilling zone, too. You know, this study that Dick was just talking about, the scientists found on average methane concentrations 17 times higher than normal in samples that were taken from water wells near gas drilling sites that involve fracking. And that's very dangerous. With very much of North Carolina in drought, communities, all of our communities are working to conserve their public water supplies so that there will be enough for drinking and food production. But fracking, the amounts that fracking requires, 5 million gallons of water for a single well, where's that water going to come from? And are they going to get to take our drinking water and we have nothing left?
The answer is, as to where it comes from, is that it's trucked in.
It's trucked in from where, though?
From
where are they getting it?
I don't know. They get it from some source and mix it all up and truck it in, and it's like 1,000 truckloads to do one well, and that's only the first time they do it.
Okay. And what happens to all that chemical mix afterwards?
The stuff that's pumped down the well, as much as half of it comes back up.
And?
And is disposed of wherever. I don't know what the regulations are for disposal. It could be that they just handle it like they do hog waste and put it in a lagoon or something.
It's a little scary. The Duke study, do you have it there? The Duke study apparently identified 7 issues that need to be addressed before fracking is allowed in North Carolina.
I don't have the study itself.
But does the article say anything about that? Other states that have shown fracking, had fracking, have had really very serious health concerns, and there's some real documentation, some proof that, or near proof. Now, you can't say, with 100% certainty, apparently, that every single chemical that appears in your water has come from, you know, fracking somewhere. But we ought to be able to track it a little more closely than they're doing right now. The point of all this is, if you live in North Carolina, if you're in the gas belt of this state, you could wake up one morning to find a private utility company drilling for natural gas in your virtual backyard. And if your experience is like anything like what families in places like Pennsylvania, where they've been gas drilling, have experienced, you could find unhealthy levels of ethylene glycol, propylene glycol, toluene, strontium, barium, and manganese in your drinking water.
Yum.
You could also find your friends and family members complaining of stomach aches, seizures, broken bones that won't heal. In fact, if our experiences are anything like the health and environmental problems that have plagued other states where fracking for natural gas is taking place, we can count on having contaminated water supplies and a flood of related health concerns. Now, if this is okay with you, then you can tune out right now. But if, like me and most of the rest of us, you want safe drinking water for yourself, your children, your grandchildren, and you want no new health problems, then here's what you can do about it. Inform yourself and your neighbors about the dangers of fracking. Look into it. There are any number of sites. You can just Google the word fracking, and you'll pull up a wealth of sites and information.
Yes, that's F-R-A-C-K-I-N-G, by the way.
Exactly. Thank you. contact your legislators and tell them to just say no to private utility companies who are addicted to the high profits that fracking provides for them. Find out how you can help pass an anti-fracking resolution or ordinance in your community. Learn and speak out about the threat that is posed by a pernicious corporatocracy that places profits above people, what a threat this is to democracy and to our lives. You can support a citizen's challenge to corporate personhood, which we have spoken about before on this show and we'll speak about again. And you can get further involved through sites like Clean Water NC. Where is my website there? The Southern Environmental Law Center, southernenvironment.org, RAFI, R-A-F-I, USA.org. And where is the other one? I know I had that other one here. I'll find that, the Clean Water. But inform yourself. Just find out about it because, to me, this is just too serious for us to overlook. There, just this.
I read that there's another test being done by EPA in which they took some leftover water from a fracking operation and just spread it in a pond as per the prescription of whatever location was. And there was no result to the study, but I just read that that's one of the things that EPA is looking into. They're also looking into, they have another study going on about the gas and whether or not toxic gas can be released or not. And that's results due out in 2012. So you need to keep an eye on that as well. And we'll try and keep you up to date. One more thing to keep track
yes.
of.
Yeah. Oh, the other website is CWFNC, that is Clean Water for North Carolina .org. CWFNC.org. And go look at them. They have some great presentations and information about fracking and some diagrams that'll show you. Here's something on the North Carolina current regulations and leases. Horizontal drilling is prohibited. Groundwater best usage in NC, drinking water, so don't inject potential contaminants. I sure hope that. Bev Perdue, it's taken some courage for her to stand up, and she's been standing up. I've been very proud of her. But do you happen to know the latest? I should have researched this, and I didn't. I'm sorry, folks. I don't know exactly what's happening in Raleigh lately. I confess that I have been so frustrated and furious with our legislators, both here in North Carolina and in D.C., that I have taken to ignoring them, and except for occasionally writing to them or phoning them to tell them how I want them to vote on something. So I'm not following it as closely as I should, but we need to stay in touch to find out. There's a movie out too called Gasland that is really very good. You can Google that if you want to learn more about it, but it's been making the rounds in all over the country. You can do something like host a dinner at your house, a potluck, and show the film, or find out where it is showing. Wait a moment. Is this a first-run film? Do you know Gasland?
I don't know.
I saw it, but it occurs to me that those may have been special circumstances. But anyway, and if again, report any contacts from companies that are seeking to lease land for fracking. Don't sign anything. You can contact Rafi again, Jordan Treacle, T-R-E-A-K-L-E, of the Rural Advancement Foundation International, and you can email him at jordan@rafiusa.org. That's Jordan, J-O-R-D-A-N, @rafiusa.org. Or you can call them at 919-444-1321. let's see.
It looks to me like it's time that we should maybe have a break.
Okie doke.
This is the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. That's WILPF. Wednesday afternoon radio show on WCOM-LP, Chapel Hill and Carrboro. We are happy to be underwritten by Internationalist Bookstore at 405 West Franklin Street in Chapel Hill. The bookstore where you find the things that you won't find anywhere else, because that's why they're there. We encourage you to go down and get acquainted with the folks at the Internationalist, or you can go to their website, internationalistbooks.org, and see what they have to offer, if there's any events coming up, and so on and so forth. We are the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. Our website is triangle WILPF.org, and we meet on the second Saturday of every month normally, and it's normally at the Friends Meeting House on Raleigh Road in Chapel Hill. If you go to our website, you can find archives of old shows and information about what other things are going on with WILF in the Triangle. And then there, of course, is WILF, WILPF.org, which is the website of the national organization. Let's see, did I give our website, triangle WILPF.org? Okay, good. Just wanted to be sure.
I want to take a few minutes to read something that appeared in the News and Observer last Saturday, July 23rd, this year. It's written by John Woolard, and John Woolard is a rancher and who owns land. His family's owned land for decades in Lee and Chatham counties. And John published this in the News and Observer, and I hope I'm not going to get arrested for reading this, but I think his article is very interesting. This is basically a story. Late one morning in April 2010, a Chevy Tracker with Colorado plates pulled up in our yard near Carbonton in southwestern Chatham County, and a man representing a natural gas exploration company got out. He had a contract he wanted me to sign, leasing his company the natural gas rights to my back 30. His son, he said, had done the research and believed that there was a vast bowl-like geologic structure under a portion of the county that likely contained an impressive supply of gas. The plan was to bore holes in the ground and pump in water laced with corrosive chemicals to force out the gas. As he talked, I looked through the 22 pages of documents. I did at least retain the rights to sulfur and any minerals that might be discovered on the place. "So what do you think?" he asked. "Well, I knew you were coming," I said. He squinted at me and leaned back against his truck. How'd you know?" I tapped my temple. I'd been expecting someone like him to appear ever since I had gotten a robocall from T. Boone Pickens some months before. I got one of those, did you? I remember that. T. Boone has been promoting a plan to wean America off foreign oil by using U.S. reserves of natural gas to operate commercial transport. Spending $50 million of his own money to promote natural gas was bound to excite the imaginations of wildcatters looking for cheap land and poor people in places where coal and shale, which are clues to the presence of gas, were abundant. And coal is abundant here. It's estimated that only 1% of the 60 to 100 million tons of coal believed to lie along the deep river has been extracted. For 2.5 centuries, speculators and investors have tried with varying degrees of success to get at it, digging in the Egypt, Carolina, and McIver mines around Cumnock, the Taylor Slope, the Gulf and Deep River mines of Gulf, the Black Diamond and Gardner mines of Carbonton, the Jones Coal Pit and Haw Branch mines near the House of the Horseshoe. Near the close of the Civil War, the Confederacy's chief source of coal was from the deep water. I looked up when I saw you look up and lost my place. Source of coal was from the Deep River coal fields. During Reconstruction, the coal and adjacent iron ore reserves inspired a carpetbagger bond scheme, which ensnared Governor William Holden, not the actor, by the way, to build a state penitentiary in Chatham County. Prison labor would mine the coal. Well, isn't that sweet? Two American governments had just killed more than 600,000 men, breaking the country's addiction to slavery. But the desire for cheap labor and fuel was still very much alive. The coal mining business in central North Carolina died in the 1950s after a cascade of floodings, fires, and fatal explosions. Prospectors still hunt other deposits. In July 1983, a company came around looking for oil and actually found some, but it wasn't economically feasible at the time to retrieve it. An ugly history. Since the ground here doesn't seem to want to give up its treasures so easily, I've been interested to see the other businesses and government agents that have focused on this area during the past 33 years. In July and August of 1978, Robert J. Burns of Transformer Sales Incorporated in Allegheny, New York, came down with his sons Randy and Tim and dumped 31,000 gallons of PCBs along the highway through here and another 270 miles of road in 14 counties in North Carolina. The stuff sat there for 4 years until the Hunt administration won out in court. The contaminated soil was dug up and all 10,000 truckloads of it hauled to a pit in Warren County. In January 1981, a state senator who was later elected lieutenant governor was set to sell 750 acres of pasture land along the Deep River to Chemical Waste Management of Long Beach, California. They wanted the land for a hazardous waste dump. The deal was stopped at the last minute when my dad, that's John Woolard's dad, pointed out to the key players that the river flooded badly from time to time. Floodwaters sluicing through a toxic waste dump could have poisoned the water systems of every town along the Deep and Cape Fear rivers from Gulf to Wilmington. In May 1988, the NC Hazardous Waste Commission chose another tract near here to build a waste incinerator. 90 million pounds per year of toxic garbage would have gone up in smoke there. Local outrage shut that project down. A few years later, a candidate for the state Senate said to me, "I don't know why those people fought that. That was a marvelous location for that facility." He didn't win. Then in November 1986, a pork producer bought the land at the center of the 1981 dump scheme. His plan was to put as many as 20,000 hogs on the banks of the Deep River. The farm would have generated waste equivalent to a city of 60,000 with an open cesspool for a sewer. The fallout from that proposed project led to a moratorium on huge new hog farms in the state. And in 1993, Eastern Chatham County was chosen by the Southeast Radioactive Waste Management Compact for a nuclear waste dump, accepting radioactive material from 8 states. That site was ultimately rejected by the state due to the permeable nature of the soil and rock formations in central North Carolina. Thanks, but no thanks. It's interesting to me that no one ever wants to build a donut factory around here. No one ever wants to set up an amusement park, but a toxic waste dump, a smoldering trash heap, a radioactive pile in an open sewer, that's another story. I did not take the Colorado Man's offer or the offer from another company that came out in the mail in May. In June, a contract showed up from an outfit in Charlotte. Attached was a check for $92.01. For this amount, I was to sell them the right to build canals, dispose of wastewater, and build a shantytown for the roustabouts on the 30-acre tract. They wanted the sulfur, too. I haven't cashed that check. Thanks again. That was John Woolard's story that ran in the News and Observer on July 23rd. I read that, and I both laughed and cried. It is really wonderful. So, anyway, North Carolina deposits are attracting great interest now. After 200 million years underground, companies have found out about them and are really, really itching to get at them. Six of 28 holes drilled in Lee and neighboring Chatham counties have found gas, oil, or both. And state geologists who were working with the U.S. Geological Survey are plugging their data into models to estimate how much gas may be recoverable. And that work could be finished next year. Reports of a potential 40-year supply of gas could be wrong by orders of magnitude, said one state geologist, Jim Simons. Gas surely does lie underground, but how much can be recovered and for how long is unknown. It's not a matter of what we think, Simons added. The companies that are down there leasing land, that's the biggest thing that tells me this is not a wild scheme. Exploration company landmen who negotiate oil and gas leases likely swung into action long before any of us knew about the deposits. And that was from a UNC Wilmington geology lecturer, Roger Hsu. He worked 20 years as a shale oil development and research geologist. The companies are trying to lease as much land as possible because they really aren't quite sure exactly where to drill. So new drilling technologies and the demand for gas makes relatively small deposits more viable economically. So they're off. Anyway, so now they're here, and there are people who I have heard think that they can make a bundle by selling these rights. But
One of the selling points...
Seller beware in this case.
Right. One of the selling points for the whole idea of getting this natural gas out is that it's so much more carbon efficient than coal. And so it's supposed to help with the greenhouse problem.
Oh, is it?
Yes, that's one of the... But it turns out, and I wish I had more than an anecdotal citation stuck in my head, but I pretty clearly remember that it was stated that the... due to the processing requirements and the fact that there could be other stuff mixed in with natural gas, it may only provide 50% of the advantage that people claim.
Yeah.
So we'll just have to keep an eye on that, too. And, of course, that's only one of the possible selling points.
Right.
But it,
folks,
but if you
this
can
is
use
speculation.
It, yes.
Pure and simple.
Yep, that's right. And so if you need that as an item that could turn the tide against what's bothering you, you might keep that in mind, too. And I'll see if I can find some more information about that, see if I can dig up where that information came from.
Yeah, that would be good. They've got, and once again, as we've said, it's very easy. Just Google FRACKING, fracking, and you can get a whole lot of information about it. And everybody should know about it because there is a big push in this area. We are sitting on top of some very old deposits, but again, no one knows just how feasible it is, and there are a lot of unanswered questions about very serious health risks that, and I am just not inclined to say, oh, go ahead and operate here on me, doctor. Let's just see if it's okay, if you find anything. You know, I don't do that to my land either.
Right.
So
that's a very important thing to keep in mind, that the health of the entire population of the area is involved.
Yeah.
Not just the health of your bank account.
That's right. That's right. And the economy is so bad, and it's not likely to get better anytime soon, I'm afraid. The economy is so bad that people are desperate and needing to make money. But in this case, it's not buyer beware, it's seller beware. Do not sign anything without having it contacting somebody like Jordan at RAFI or the Southern Environment Law Center or Clean Water for NC. And these groups are doing wonderful work, and they are there to protect and help us. They are not there to make a profit. These companies that are trying to, you know, buy up the leases are there for profit purely.
That's right. It's the corporate definition. The only thing you have to do in order to be acceptable and stay in business is to make a profit for your shareholders. And in fact, you have to maximize the profit for your shareholders.
And there may be nothing wrong in and of itself with profits. We need, at least in capitalism, we need the money. But think about it. Long term, don't you need your health? And don't you need your environment? I mean, I don't want poison water. I don't want to drink it. I don't want my kids or my grandchild to drink it.
So, right. Definitely.
This has been, how are we doing? We've still got 20 minutes. Wow. Yeah. Okay, we sort of rushed through this today.
you want to take a couple of minutes of music while we
regroup here?
Yeah.
That sounds good.
How about a little stuff from the Alan Parsons Project?
That sounds good.
Psychobabble.
Thank you.
Okay. That was the Alan Parsons Project, Psychobabble. Thanks, Dick. I love that. I love that. Great song. So we're back, and we're going to wrap up now about fracking. But I just want to reiterate why you should be concerned, why we all should be concerned. For one thing, there are health risks from air emissions, ground, and surface water contamination. And there are plenty of documented instances in states where fracking has been going on. Two, millions of gallons of fresh water is needed to frack. And in North Carolina, we have water scarcity issues. We need our clean water to drink and to grow our food. Three, there are no good disposal options for the flowback or the wastewater that comes from fracking. This water is full of harmful chemicals that cannot be discharged into streams or removed by wastewater treatment plants. And another problem, though, is that many of these shales, these deposits, there are permeability issues, and the chemicals do escape and contaminate groundwater and wells around them. Next, there is a federal loophole that exempts fracking from environmental regulations, and so poor oversight of drilling and wells is the norm. Litigation on fracking operations is underway in several states, but that takes time, and the whole regulatory system is basically set up to keep us trapped in a loop that where we cannot win. They have deep, deep pockets, these oil and gas companies. They can keep fighting it in courts forever. Most of us as citizens cannot do that. Finally, methane contamination from shale drilling is found in drinking water wells by Duke researchers, and it poses an explosion risk, and it often requires that people find a new drinking water source. Again, with drinking water at a premium, we can't afford to give it over to contamination in the process of fracking. So, again, please, please, please become informed and be proactive about this. Fracking is...
Remember that if it's too good to be true, if it seems too good to be true, it probably is.
It probably is. That's right. And there are any number of people who have sold the rights to their land and are still waiting to see the money. Also, there is something called the Halliburton loophole in the 2005 energy policy, and I referred to that a minute ago. It exempts fracking from regulations. We need to look into closing up those loopholes.
Yeah.
Because our drinking water, this planet is finite, our resources. There is, you know, a natural cycle to things, but We cannot unpoison our water and our air easily once we allow it to be poisoned. So I think it's better to be safe than sorry in this case. You were going to say something, Dick?
Whatever it was, it must not have been important because it flew away.
That's what my mother used to say. By the way, some of these leases contain legal language beyond just granting them the rights to drill on your land. It allows them to build roads, buildings, gates, drilling stations, and pipelines on any spot on your land. And it allows them to bill you for their expenses if at any time they find a problem with your title. It leaves you liable for any damages caused to neighboring landowners by the company's drilling practices. It interferes with farming, hunting, timber rights, conservation programs, and other uses of land. Again, it uses millions of gallons of water, and it allows them to... Oh, wait a moment. It allows them to use your water. And it allows them to store the wastewater and chemicals on your land. Well, isn't that fun? So please, 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 don't do it. If there's anybody out there who's listening to this and has been approached, don't do it. Move very slowly and contact Jordan Treacle at jordan@rafiusa.org. We are wrapping up now. We're going to close. Thank you again for being with us. And I hope you'll check back in with us next Wednesday, every Wednesday at 5 p.m. I don't know who's on next week. Do you know, Dick?
No, I don't think we have anybody planned yet, but we'll have somebody for some occasion. And we hope that you all will join us and listen in. Tana has an announcement to make?
I do.
Yes.
Save the date. September 10th, there is a statewide summit on fracking impacts. And Clean Water for NC invites you to keep NC's water, air, and communities safe from hydraulic fracturing for gas. That is Saturday, September 10th, from 1:30 to 5:30 p.m. at Central Carolina Community College in Pittsboro. The registration is just $15 by September 2nd. So, and you can reserve online at www.cwfnc.org. CWFNC.org. Clean Water for North Carolina.org. The speakers include Calvin Tillman, the former mayor of Dish, Texas, and founder of ShaleFest.org. And he discusses the air impacts and the need to test. He appears in the film Gasland, by the way. Dr. Avner Vengosh of Duke University, who is a co-author of The Methane Contamination of Drinking Water, Accompanying Gas Well Drilling and Hydraulic Fracturing. Carol French, a farmer from Bradford County, Pennsylvania, who talks about her community's experiences in dealing with massive gas extraction. And Jordan Treacle of RAFI, who is advising farmers and landowners on how to protect themselves from predatory leases. Anyway, for more information, contact Clean Water for NC at 919-401-9600 or email hope@cwfnc.org. I'll see you there.
Okay, thank you all for listening in today. This is Dick Paddock, along with Tana Hartman, hosting the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom show here on WCOMLP, Chapel Hill and Carrboro, your 100-watt FM station, locally volunteer-operated in Chapel Hill and Carrboro. Actually, the studio itself is located in Carrboro. We invite you to join us next week. At the same time, 5 to 6 on Wednesday afternoons. We also would like to remind you about our underwriter, internationalistbooks.org, is their website. It's the Internationalist Bookstore at 405 West Franklin Street. And we ask you to think about us and joining us, Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. And you can find our information at trianglewilpf.org on the internets. Thank you all very much.
Your nursing heart.